Hey everyone, this is Rachel Mooney.
This is Cindy.
This is Maggie.
And this is Andrea. And you're listening to Real Her Talk, Houses, Heels, and Real Estate Deals.
Okay, so you have had two VAs for a while, which is a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
And they've done a great job. So what are you working on right now?
Right now, I'm working on actually bringing in two just in-house people, like actually in my office people, versus virtual, which is not a bad thing. They've been amazing, so much so that I'm like making sure that I find them each a good, you know, place to call home,
yeah,
real estate team wise. So because they are very, very good, and I think for the correct season and person, they're perfect. Yeah, but for us, it's getting to the point where the two things that I need the most can also do the tasks that they're doing, mm-hmm, and it would make both of those positions more of a full time. And so, so I'm looking for two people at the moment. That's what I'm doing. You look so cute.
Hi.
So, come on in.
Thank you.
So, tell us about how the job roles expanded, where you started, all the things.
So, basically, I mean, if you've ever been around, and I think anybody has talked about this in any industry, but in our industry, we talk a lot about the 80-20 rule, about how, you know, there's a set of tasks, which is our 20%, that if we focus on those things, you know, they're going to produce 80% of the results. Mm-hmm. But if you focus on 80% of the lower level tasks, or not lower level, but the non-producing tasks, then you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be stuck doing things that you shouldn't be doing, and your production's going to be less, or your how you do will be less. Mm-hmm. So Joe and I have been, it's funny, we've both been found ourselves very frustrated within our roles, which is not normal, because we do love what we do and we enjoy what we do. And we just kind of one day sat down and we've realized we are both so we're so stretched thin. And also our Sarah, who kind of came into our organization as potentially something with finance and our lending company, but she is so talented and has created a path for herself within our team that, you know, she is also stretched thin. So we're all stretched very thin. I wish that was the same for, you know, my body weight. So the more and more we talked, the things that were stressing us are things literally that sadly are not our 20%. And I've been, you know, my marketing side of things, like my agent Brittany's been so awesome in helping me, but I had a conversation with her the other day because she's getting busy. It's her second year. She's been with us 2 years, so she's working, mm-hmm, on that third year. And she's seeing all of her activities that she's, mm-hmm, been working on paying off. Yes. And she even said, I'm so glad when I met you that you told me to, like, give it 2 years, because now I'm watching that actually become reality. And I told her the other day, I don't want you having to focus on tasks that are not going to make you the money that you need to make, when you can focus on your 20%. And what you get for doing marketing for us is not going to compare. So, and she understood completely, and she agrees. And I think that's my goal this year for even my team as a whole. Like on my coaching call yesterday, the word clarity kept coming up. And I think knowing where you're going, what you're doing with your, like, as a team. And for us, it's how can we continue to give our agents the leverage that they need to have them just focus on those 20%. And on the marketing side too, marketing is different now. Like, you guys see it, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all of these things. And I'm like, if it is so crucial right now, why don't I have someone dedicated for that role? So the more we talked, a lot of my things that I was working on and focusing on was, you know, helping Brittany a little bit on that and extra other things. And so we thought, wait a minute, it sounds like originally the executive assistant was going to be more of a kind of entry-level position. We're like, stock the office, get some coffee, help us with some email management, calendar management. But the more and more we discussed what was stressing us, the more and more we realized this person needs to be a little higher, not that they're not higher level if they come in entry level, but maybe like something with a background in finance, because a lot of Joe's stress is from our investment side, where now we have a trailer park that we own, and you know, our agents actually bought into it with shares that we did. But we have, you know, he's like, well, no wonder I'm stressed out. We own however many doors, and our goal is to flip 40 homes, and we're on like 7 or 8 right now. So there is a lot happening. And so this person would take on a lot of those responsibilities. And that's a lot. I mean, you're taking on project management of the mobile home park. You're, you know, making sure insurance is paid or the utilities are paid and things like that on these flips. Because when you buy a flip, you have to turn on the utilities and pay the utilities and have homeowners insurance and all of those things. And so little things that, you know, could potentially be big things if they're not done. And unfortunately, when you're so busy, but with Joe as well, like he's not able to run in the things he needs to run in and produce this 40 flips if he's working on the tasks that he shouldn't be. So kind of switched a little bit, got several applicants that were great, but one that really
stood out
and had potentially the skills. So we're interviewing her on Thursday. And so it's funny because her DISC is very similar to Sarah's, and you know, Sarah's very system oriented. Like, so one of the things my coach has always said, when you have a missing person in your organization, you need to know who you need. Like, number one, what are the values, kind of character? Like, what are the things that are not necessarily taught that you want them to have? And then from there, skills can be taught. So, having some background in finance helps, having, you know, some background in real estate helps. And so this person actually has a finance and real estate degree. So I'm excited about that.
That's amazing.
It's like almost perfect.
I was like, that's
what you need.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a degree in nothing. So once people like whip out degrees like that, I'm like, I didn't even know that was a degree.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, Sarah went ahead and virtually interviewed her and did a prep interview and loved her. And so then we'll interview her in person on Thursday.
Did you KPA her?
So I disked her, which sounds funny, but not KPA yet. I was going to.
Yeah.
See that.
Because I got to share. Keep going.
The cool thing, too, is.
Don't look at my rear end camera.
The cool thing, too, is that she is someone in our community, and I've actually known her since she was little. Like, her brother and my son were really good friends growing up. And so it's funny when her application came through, because I was like, I would have never thought to recruit somebody you'd like that, or I didn't know what she was doing. Like, it was so cool. But yeah, so that's there. And then the marketing one, we just put on Indeed. I really felt like for the marketing one, I had to go outside of my sphere of influence, just because the more and more I thought about it, I think my problem with hiring someone for this role has been that I think, oh, that's not a lot of work. Oh, it doesn't take 40 hours to do that. I think because I enjoy social media and I have my own page that I work on and I edit. And so I think, oh, we can kind of do that part-time. We can kind of do that. Yes. But the more and more I think about it, I'm like, no, this is a full-time role, because companies are hiring people to do this. And if I'm a multi-million dollar
company,
why am I not hiring someone that is dedicated to this? And our platforms, I mean, we've got Instagram, Facebook, we've got a YouTube channel. So like, she would be doing the research, or he or she would be doing the research and writing the script, helping me with all of that. So it is, once I kind of sat down and wrote down the tasks, because even when my coach made me do that, I was kind of like, this doesn't seem like a lot. And then I thought, this is a lot.
It's a lot.
Because
research
on
it is a big part of it.
It is.
And what's trending.
It's not fast.
It's not fast. No. And that's exactly right. You have events. Mm-hmm. Then you have where I need open house flyers. Mm-hmm. I need door knocking flyers. Mm-hmm. I need my listing presentation for this next listing. I mean, you have a working team that needs stuff too.
Yeah.
In real time for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's a combination of all that 100% for the size of your team and what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think too, like it's looking future too, like what's real estate going to look like in the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my coach has really challenged me to really think on that and sit on that. And it is turning more and more of a skills industry. Mm-hmm. And I think that
I would challenge and say that it's not more and more. It is.
It is a skill. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think it's only going to get even more. And even Joe is like, I would love for the barrier of entry to be higher or more difficult because, you know, like it's easier to be a real estate agent than a cosmetologist. Like, and I'm nothing against cosmetologists. My sister-in-law is one, but you know,
to get the license,
to cut someone's hair is hard. It's harder than to play around with people's money. Might not play around, but you know, and I think I've become very frustrated, unfortunately, and I don't like to talk about agents. I almost never do, but I've dealt the last two weekends. I've dealt with just frustrations with a first-time home buyer. I had a seller's agent, and unfortunately, after he said one thing, I realized he was new, and I did check to see his license, and he was. But he lost a potential contract with me because he would not accept my lender. He wanted me to go to an in-house bank with this little first-time home buyer. And I was like, my lender, out of my 160 deals my team has closed several for me. Yeah. He almost closes all of my buyers. And not only that, like we've already talked to the investor. It's a mobile home. So he's already talked to the investor. Like it's going to close and I can close you in 3 weeks. Yeah. And y'all, I went back and forth with him for 2 days straight. And in the end, I had to step away because he eventually said that he wanted us to have two loans. And one as a backup. And I said, that's mortgage fraud. I can't have my buyer sign two
contracts.
Things. Yeah. Things. Look at me saying that. But yes.
You it's know, a technical term. Things. Yes. Works for everything.
I'm like, how can I have.
He literally said that.
He said he would only feel comfortable if we had a backup lender. And I was like, that's not a thing. I offered him cash on the property because he told me that his person would take a low cash offer. So I was like, okay. Well, I'm an investor. I talked to Chris about it. I said, what if I buy it for cash and my buyer buys it from me?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, totally. Well, not me, but
you know, yeah.
My investor, your company. My company. He's like, oh yeah, we can make that work because I knew that the mobile home was going to be financed. It was apparently they had a contract fallout because the lender wasn't able to finance the mobile home, but what he didn't understand was that this was an investor that works through the brokerage with our lender, and so they already knew everything. We had described with detail.
This wasn't a bank.
We even went and looked underneath this mobile home, mm-hmm. like it was going to close.
Yeah.
And so to the point where we offered him cash. They said that was too low and countered at $10,000 less than list, and I was like, that's not how cash offers work. Yeah. And so and then this weekend, same buyer, I put in a showing request and almost 12 hours later have not heard from nobody.
So Holly, I've had a couple of those.
And I'm just like, do you want to sell your home or not? Yeah. And it's just so frustrating. Again, I'm like, I don't ever talk badly about agents. That's like my number one rule not to, but I'm like so frustrated with just the level of
incompetency,
but I don't even think that's right now. So much even the barrier of entry because there's incompetent attorneys, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. there's people that,
yes. Cause I mean, we all had the same barrier.
Yeah. Right.
We all turned out okay.
Yeah. I swear this goes back to like the questions we would ask if we were hiring an agent,
yes.
because mm-hmm. Holly mm-hmm. just had this experience when she was a guest a couple of episodes ago. She called me and she was so frustrated. She has a $5 million cash buyer listing by an agent who sells like cheapest, quote unquote, cheapest house that he has listed is like $1.2 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's literally like, cannot be bothered. He has to be at all mm-hmm. showings. And Holly gave him two options and he's like, that doesn't work for me. And she's like, I have a cash buyer, and this is when they said they are willing,
yeah.
and they have $5 million in cash. I go on their schedule, and mm-hmm. you're telling me as the agent this doesn't work for your mm-hmm. schedule. And then so he's like, well, okay, back and forth, and then finally her buyers were like, we're done. He's going to be this difficult to work with. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
So that homeowner has no idea that agent's his schedule
showings
didn't line up. And so they missed out on a $5 million buyer.
Mm-hmm. And that's my question too with this one, because like he didn't want to tie it up. It had just come back on the market because they had to do some repairs. And so he's like, well, I don't want to tie it up and then it not close and something happen. And so I was like, okay,
are you never going to go under contract?
Are you never going to go? So then,
I'm just keeping my mouth shut here. And I'm just thinking.
Then he said, well, we would take it if you're, I've already told him my buyer's 21 and she's a first time home buyer. And yes, my earnest money was a little lower, but come on, if you're in the market right now, we're getting, no one's earnest money is 1% of list price. I mean, not totally 1%. I mean, some, but he wanted me to put down, my buyer to put down hard earnest money,
which is just not a thing anyways.
It's refundable.
Hard money is when you don't have mm-hmm. earnest money, you just put hard money.
Right. Yes, yeah. Yes. And so, but in a conversation, he's like, you need to get an inspection. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, so you want my 21-year-old first time home buyer to put down, you know, more than double the earnest money we offered, hard, no due diligence, because you're protecting your customer? He kept calling him a customer. And I'm like, I'm not going to let her do that.
Well, that, and then it's not up to him. So, like,
he still has to present everything to the seller.
And that was my other thing.
That is,
yeah, you still have to present.
Here's the problem.
I'm like, did you present it?
The actual owner is not having any.
Well, then you can ask for you can have his owner sign a rejection form if you don't think that he actually. Yeah.
And it's still on the market, guys.
Yeah.
Almost 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
He could be closed in a week.
And he didn't call you back.
I called him.
I told them we would be moving on.
Yeah. I had one on Saturday. I think, Sunday. I showed on Sunday, and my buyer's interested in Condo in Midtown. The agent still has not called me back. Still. I have called, texted, emailed, like multiple times. And he and I are going to talk today at 3:30 once we're done with this about, okay, there's 14 others in this unit, in this building for sale.
Right.
You know, do you want to try to look at something else? Because we're getting zero response.
Yeah.
It's on the market for 100 and some days.
Oh, dear Lord. So, like, so let's start with questions I would ask if I was hiring a real estate agent. What is your follow-up system?
Yeah.
Not what is your, like, I return phone calls.
Right.
No.
What's the process of following up a phone call? If you're in an appointment, do you have somebody that's answering and receiving those calls for you? Are you within the hour? What happens when you go out of town? What happens if there's a family emergency? Like, what is your
what's the expectation?
Plan? Yes.
Yeah. What can I expect?
Yeah, because I think that's the problem, and that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't like talking bad about people. And I don't like discouraging new agents either, but this is why, like, you need to align yourself with an office or with a team or with somewhere that's going to help you. Like, I have an agent who's brand new on my team, and she's like, no, I would never do this by myself. She's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, she knows that. And so she's like, I need to learn, and I need, and also the leverage and things like that. But it's just very frustrating. But a friend of mine told me, she's a lender, and she said that an agent she knows, that she didn't get hired by a buyer because she was solo. Because she's like, I'm an out-of-town buyer. What happens if you're out of town or you're not available to show me houses?
That's a good question.
And I'm like, I'd never thought about that either.
That's very vital.
Yeah. Question. And I didn't.
And you have the right to go out of town. You also need to have a plan, like have a friend, have a partner, have somebody that takes care of that stuff.
There's
for
a
you.
Team of team of people.
And so she could have had that plan. Mm-hmm. She could be solo. I'm not saying anything about that.
No,
but have a plan.
Right.
Like, what is your plan for that?
Yeah.
Like yesterday I had someone reach out because of one of my YouTube episodes from California, and they gave me like a week long of when they're going to be in Tennessee so they can come to Georgia. And half of that week, I'm going to be on spring break with my kids. But guess what I said? Well, I have a whole team of agents. So
that's right.
At any point, you pick what day's best because I'll make it work.
Yeah.
Either you get me or you'll get one of my
agents. And that's right. That's what we're in the business to. Yeah. It's not like, I mean, I'm at your, within certain reasons, I will pick up the phone call. Mm-hmm. And it's not just you. I will pick up a phone or I will text and tell them what I'm doing and when I can call them back.
Yeah.
And if they say, oh, it's urgent, I go, well, would you like to talk to my processor? Yeah. Would you like to talk to another teammate?
Yeah.
I picked up my first two buyers for my YouTube channel. I almost sent you a text message last week because it's been a hot minute.
It's been a hot minute. For you.
And I finally got my first two.
I don't know your YouTube channel.
So
my YouTube channel is all market updates and stats.
I'll get it and then I can talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Theirs is like what you should know living in different areas.
Yeah.
Maybe I need
so I've gotten four leads and unfortunately one ghosted me, one bought not in my area and already had like an agent in that area, so I couldn't do a referral. And then I had another one who decided to buy in North Carolina. So I did send her to an agent, but I don't know that they've reached out.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this one.
This is going to be my first closing.
I mean, you know, it's hard to get that the channel up and running. Like, I knew it was a long game. So I'm like, I know it's a long game. Like, I'm in it for the long game. Mm-hmm. Again, it's knowing, like, when you're able to do it. Like I have, it is a long plan for me, at least 3-year plan for me.
Yeah. Consistent.
And I mean, you
consistent
know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's consistency.
Yeah.
By the way, most of the lenders are licensed in multiple states and really good at it. I mean, some of them are licensed in California. There's a lot of deals going on in Montana. Just in case.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
They do come from all over. Like the guy that we terminated yesterday, one of them came from the YouTube channel. He's from Las Vegas.
Oh.
And he's buying investment property. Well, it's an investment property for him, but his mother-in-law lives here. And he wants to put his mother-in-law in it.
Oh, that's nice.
It is wild, the amount of people that look on YouTube.
I was
looking at something earlier, and it was like how much time people spend on anything.
Like of the social media channel or platforms. And YouTube is consistently number one.
It is,
it's consistent. And you got to think, too, is Google loves the things it owns, and it owns YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, going back to my job person, is like, that is, that's where people are looking now. Like, people don't even look at TV anymore. They're looking at, you know.
Probably the oldest platform, too.
It is. It's a long
time. So, like, I trust me.
I come in, say I'm watching or something. Probably even if I said I was watching TikTok, somebody quietly called 911. I had a stroke. But I watch YouTube because it just, I know, but you're, you know, you're more sophisticated.
I don't think that that's the word you'd use for TikTok.
But yeah. No, I meant in the whole
No, but you like YouTube.
Yeah, it's fine.
YouTube's fine.
I don't really watch a whole lot of anything if you want to know the truth, sadly.
We got a referral from a real estate agent, not even in Georgia, but apparently she makes YouTube videos about the buying process and gets leads and then just
passes them out. That's great. Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's a really, really good.
Well, I could talk about how to get ready for buying a home.
Yeah.
I do it every day.
Mm-hmm. Y'all should interview her for your YouTube channel.
Yes. Sadly and unfortunately are a couple words sometimes we use.
Yes.
And I think too with the media, like it's ever changing. So algorithm on Instagram's ever changing. Like again, I don't have the time. It's just so different even when we, you know, a couple years ago being on that. So again, it's like what are the 80% things that I need to leverage off, that those are going to become money-making 20% for someone. And I think that's what I started to realize is like these tests that I'm doing could potentially be huge
yeah.
and be a 20%, but I don't have the time or the.
Well, it's never going to be your 20% though.
Yeah, no. Like, give it to somebody else and it'd be theirs.
Like, yeah, my 20% is like numbers and coaching my agents one. I know that those are the things that get us to where we need to get to, and I can't slip up on that.
Yeah. So no matter, like, and somebody else will skip to work to do those jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, literally skip to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wrote this down from Gary, that on his vision speech, that 90% of people used an agent last year to represent them. Mm-hmm. And that is near an all-time industry high. Talk about the flip of what the media is saying.
Have y'all seen the For Sale by Owner guy on Instagram? Mm-hmm. Joe's been nothing but listening to him. And I'm like, why are you? Oh, gosh, so he is a guy.
I was going to say, I'd be pissed.
It's similar to the TikTok guy, I think, because he's a For Sale by Owner who his mission in life is to make you realize that real estate agents are a waste of time. And so he is like basically showing his journey of selling his home by owner. My thought is he's going to come up with some kind of course or thing to sell to the masses.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
And make money himself.
Yeah.
But that's what we were talking about today in our team meeting, was just leveling up as agents. And we're so quick to discount ourselves. We're so quick to like bring our, you know, what our value is or whatever. We have so much value. We'll stand on that, be confident in that. And so helping them, we've done a lot of script and role play. Almost every single week we're ending team meeting with script and role play.
Well, and that goes back to what Gary said. He said that it being an all-time high of people using agents is the fact that of our skill sets, right? Like, absolutely. That's a testament to, you need us. I'm not going to court if I'm being sued without an attorney.
Right.
Is it possible? Sure. Look at, oh my God. Did anybody watch the Dateline with Lori Vallow getting interviewed?
Mm-mm.
Oh girl, that lady is cuckoo-ca-choo. Do you know who she is?
I know
her
name.
Yeah, you do. She's the one who, they called her the angel of death, something like that. But she killed her kids to marry the guy who's the nut.
I just saw that like pop up the other day.
Yes.
Okay.
And she married that. And then like they killed her husband, killed his wife, killed her kids. And then suddenly her brother, who was the one actually like running around executing most of all these people, he dies mysteriously. Mm. And then,
they interviewed her?
Yeah. From jail. Yeah, and
she's a little more than cuckoo ca-choo.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Crazy,
so she's sitting there talking about how, you know, Jesus loves everybody, but she's his favorite and that he visits her in jail all the time.
Oh,
and that Tammy, the one they murdered, his wife, that her
and Tammy are really good friends.
Like, all this stuff.
She comes to visit her, too.
Oh, absolutely. And her kids too, the ones she murdered. Yep. But no, the best part is she's representing herself as an attorney. Like, in her.
My.
So she's already been convicted of murdering her children, and now she's about to go on trial for killing her. It was her current husband. It was her husband. She said that he had been possessed by a demon and was dark, and so they had to kill him. Mind you, within 48 hours, she calls to get his life insurance and finds out he had transferred the beneficiary to no longer.
Good for him.
Right? he knew.
He had something. He knew.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, yeah. So if you want to be grouped with Lori Vallow and represent yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
that's not reasonable. You don't think of those people and like, oh,
they're smart.
Smart.
They protected themselves. They did everything. You're like, oh, they're not right. They're going to battle in a court system with contracts and everything else and laws they don't know and don't understand. It's the same thing in real estate. It's the same thing in real estate.
But I feel like we have watered it down because of people that are willing to, you know, you've got your little listing companies that'll list for 1%. Like, I feel like that. And we're seeing that a lot too in competition with other people, with people who are willing to do, like
but they also don't know everything. And it's funny.
Much money on the table.
Yeah, exactly. They're not staying educated.
Right.
No, and that's another question I would ask. Going back to you, what would I ask? What is the most recent education you took that wasn't a required CE class? Like, that would be something I would ask, because a required CE class, people can click through those online and get through that and not even read it. So, like,
I'm queen of that.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Get it done.
Required.
Yep. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it was so funny. Different brokerage yesterday, and she's like telling me how she wants to set up this referral agreement with another agent at another brokerage. I was like, oh, you can't do that. She's like, well, why not? I'll just still list it, and then I'll just show it and hold the open houses and stuff. And I was like, well, with the laws the way they are, you know, you can't, that won't work. And she's like, well, they said it would, and he's a very experienced agent and like a rule follower. And I was like,
evidently not.
Right. I was like,
I know, because I'm the supreme rule follower.
Yeah. And I'm like, I just don't know what to tell you other than that person, like just doesn't. Hasn't stayed up to date enough.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very, so you struggle not to say what you really want to say, and you put it in a way that it's more professional.
Yes, because I, what I really want to say.
You're still young. At
70. When people say, I've been a broker for 20 years, that's my favorite line. I'm like, that, when anybody starts with that, I'm like, that's usually the problem.
Yeah.
You're about to be a problem.
Yeah.
Because I've been a broker 20 years now. This is my 20th year as a broker, and I've been licensed for 23. So I'm like, and you would never hear me start any conversation with that. That's a ridiculous conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have your broker's license?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it when I was pregnant with Lola. Mm-hmm. So 21 years.
Is it like getting a master's? You get your real estate license and you
like
don't get
that's like the new thing right now. There's a lot of, I mean, especially newer agents.
I wouldn't they just rolled out. Now you need 18 hours of broker specific training to get your renewal, and I'm going, I might let mine go, because like, what difference does it make? It doesn't do anything.
It's no difference. Mm-hmm. There's no difference. It was additional training, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. then I mean, I'll come to you even still with questions.
Oh yeah.
You know, because I'm like, I know this has changed, or there's something different, you know, that would have been 20 years ago would have been
totally
acceptable
different.
Or some mm-hmm. I mean, the industry just changes so much. So I mean, hell, our contracts change. Yeah, how many times do our contracts change?
Every 6 months.
Here? So something's always changing.
I don't want that responsibility.
No.
I'm always like,
you want a name.
So and so. Y'all know
that's
who he
another
is.
Part of your 20%, 80%.
That on
I will not mention
else.
His name, because I'm sure he does not want to mention.
Mm-hmm. No, but then I'll be like, if Rachel calls me or you guys call me and we're like, I'm like, okay.
No, you'll.
This
you'll
is what I think.
Call, blah, blah, blah.
And.
Call. Yeah.
We're going to phone a friend too. Cause like, I even want to bounce some things up. I'm like,
every situation is so different. And I mean, there's so, the industry in general is just completely different.
Well, and if you're a real estate agent in production and you're a broker, which one are you doing better and which one are you making sure? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in production. I'm in production. Mm-hmm. Am I staying to make sure that I'm relevant on the broker side? Like, that's a lot of pressure. So I'm like, let me just phone a friend.
Yeah,
and
right.
Ask mm-hmm. the question.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you get the right answer. Mm-hmm. You know it's right instead of guessing.
Quicker.
Yeah.
More accurate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You get to move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm always like, if I could teach people, call us before you do the thing. Because y'all are all good about that. Like, mm-hmm. you'll call me and be like, this is what I'm thinking. And this is what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's talk through that. And 90% of the time it's fine. But like the 10%, you're like, maybe we need to take a right hand turn here. I'm like, yeah, just teaching everybody to call first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not after.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, that's in so many industries. If people would just call me about a loan before they do something about it.
Yeah.
Or, decide they needed to save money so they stopped paying this, you know, so they'd have enough money.
Yeah.
That's real.
Or somebody told them it wouldn't, that wouldn't be on their credit report, you know.
So going back to that 90% real quick, why do you think it's 90%? Like, let's talk about that.
That's
what changed in the world.
I do think that is more people, especially with higher prices, lower prices, higher interest rates, are realizing it's above their pay grade. Mm-hmm. And they, I mean, I really do. The only reason you get 90% of people now buying into it is they've either had a bad experience, or now they're more educated about, especially if you had a bad experience, then you know that person that's helping you is worth every dime that they are making, because this is all the stuff they're doing. I think COVID was a big aha moment in the fact that so many people wanted to see so many things, and the interest rates were going down, and you needed somebody who was savvy and somebody who could get you in the house to see it. And like, if it was me, then I'd want somebody taking care of my house and doing all of that when I was trying to sell it, because
could you imagine back then having to take all those phone calls for showings?
That's what I was thinking, is I wonder if it's inventory driven. So COVID and beyond, the inventory supply has been so low that a lot of stuff that we get under contract is off market properties.
Right.
It's coming from circle prospecting, or who do you know, or other agents in our office that are telling us about properties before they hit. Like, I think that the consumer, if they were going to play in that space with very little inventory, they needed to get to somebody that could get them to the inventory. Because by the time it hit the market, it had multiple offers within just a few hours. Right.
Is that 90% include both buyers, sellers?
In
2024.
So I think they just kind of got, and not to mention the liability aspect of it now, right? So many people are sue happy, and they're going to sue you for everything. And when you sell a home, whether you mean to or not to disclose something, you're held liable to that. And so there's a huge risk there as a somebody doing it on their own without having the shield of a broker. So,
yeah, I mean, the stat just consistently going up over the past, I think, he showed probably the past 7-8 years on that slide. And it was like every year it was going up, 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 and up. And like, if, like I said, it's like a complete 180 from the media. And I genuinely believe it is because the landscape of the housing industry changes so quickly. There's a process for people to adopt ideas no matter what, right? Like, no, that doesn't apply at all. Then it's like, okay, acceptance, but for other people, like, and we see that a lot. Like, okay, that's true for everybody else, like the pricing and everything. That's true for, but not my house. My house is different.
It's better. Right. We've got this, this, and that.
We've got this, this, and this. Then they like look for social proofing, but usually it's social proofing for the, like, to them, but it ends up being the opposite, right? Like proving whatever the idea is. Then there's finally acceptance on their end. Then they make it seem like it's their own idea. And that is how people process information. That is a change. And so we're helping people walk through a path that they don't necessarily embrace right off the bat. And if they try things, they try the market, they try to buy without an agent, they whatever, the outcome is so not good at the, especially now. Like if you're on the sell side, you overpriced by $5,000 with an agent, I don't care. You're going to sit there.
It's minimal money right now.
It is minimal money. You price aggressively, multiple offers above ask. And it is this weird, magical divide. And as an agent, if you're not hyper-focused in the market, you have no clue what that magical divide is. I was talking to an agent yesterday, and she was saying that the she had a buyer, and she was putting in an offer, and the agent, there was three homes for sale, and they listed one, like, let's say that this agent had 625, this one had 640, and this one had 675. The 675, what, these were townhouses. The 675 was not an end unit, two bedroom, three story. The other two that were lower price were three bedroom, and one was an end unit. Anyways, so they're going to put an offer and looking, and she's like, well, so she calls the agent, and she's like, how did you come up with 675? She's like, oh, well, I pulled the comps, and one like this, it was an end unit, but it was like this, sold for 675 6 months ago.
That's not even relevant.
Market's changing month by month.
Like, week by week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that is so irrelevant to even utter that to another agent. And then our agent is like, what am I supposed to say to that? I was like, nothing. Mm-mm. You just explain to your buyer that these people are very disconnected based on who they're listening to.
And it's going to be a long road to get them where you need to go. And so if you want to go down that negotiation path, please do not be married to the outcome. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And be patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to skip over, I had this aha moment this morning about, because there's such a disconnect between agents and sellers right now, and then what a seller thinks the house is worth versus what it's truly worth and what the buyer is willing to pay for it. There's such a vast difference right now.
Yes.
And like you're saying, like even the overpricing as little as $5,000 is either going to make or break you. Mm-hmm. And one conversation I started having with sellers, because we've talked about this, buyers or they're triers or sellers. Mm-hmm. What is that bottom line number that you're willing to take where this is no longer worth you going through the process?
Ooh, I like
right?
that.
Because if you're listing at seven, let's just say 750, mm-hmm. and we overshoot that by $5,000 or whatever, because the market's going to tell us, you're instantly going to have
yeah.
buyers coming in, no offers if you've priced it anywhere in the realm,
right?
Right? But if you price it perfectly and under, you're going to have the buyers and the offers, so that you're going to know right away if you get the people in. But let's say we overshoot it and we have to start chasing the market down. What is that bottom number? Because if a mm-hmm. if a seller now says, "Well, I'm not selling less than 720, and it's really probably going to be 699," I now as a listing agent have to say, "Okay, this is not going to be worth my time because I know mm-hmm. we're probably going to chase this down."
Right.
I just yeah. had this, and if I would have thought about having that conversation, mm-hmm. that's like a conversation we had back in the day.
Yep.
That we kind of forgot about. It's yep. like, okay, what is the bottom number that this yep. no longer makes sense for you? Like, mm-hmm. let's right. tell me that number, because mm-hmm. if I'm going to have to come to you and go, we're going lower than that, mm-hmm. I need to know now before I invest my money or my time and vice versa to getting the house on the market. Because
yeah.
that's where mm-hmm. we're at now.
Well, that's yeah. my question to my right. agents when they come and they have an appointment or they're talking to a seller or whatever. I'm like, what do they want to net?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I didn't ask that question. I was like, well, that's the question.
Know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the question.
Yeah, what do they want to know? And that's my first question always is like, what do you want to net? Because then I know what's important to you, what your number is. And then based on comps and based on what we want to go to market yeah. with, I can figure out whether this is reasonable or not reasonable, whether I want to take this or not. Because if you're unreasonable and your net is nowhere near where it can be or should be, you know, but like we had a listing appointment with someone and she was like, oh, I'm using you. Like, you know, she did everything to the house. She's got a family member who's an agent in another state. So like that was not, she knew like a roundabout what an agent would cost and all of that. So, you know, she was prepared and everything. And so by the time I walked it was ready to roll. You know, yeah. she had painted, changed carpet. Like she did exactly what she was supposed to do. I'm like, you were like
the dream client.
But even her, she was off by $50,000.
Wow, that's under. A big gap.
Under. Normally they're not.
Yeah,
normally
they're
it's
over
the
50.
Other way. If she would have gone to market on her own, or if she would have gotten with an agent who just wanted the listing and she said, this is my number, and the agent would have been like, okay, sure, let's put it at that number. I mean,
so
yeah, it would have gotten multiple offers.
Yeah, it probably would have driven it back up.
But would it have driven it 50 up in this market? I don't know. Or people would have realized, like, this is a deep, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In a very desirable neighborhood. So, you know, being able to tell her, like, we can push. I mean, even at our under, we're at around 50,000. So, like, that was a really cool appointment to go on because it shows like, yeah, like this is what the market's saying. This is what we could list at. Mm-hmm. And so we shall see. It's going to market here soon. So we'll see.
That'll be mm-hmm. interesting to find out mm-hmm. if this conversation, if it will
yeah.
play out exactly mm-hmm. the way
yep.
you think it will.
And
I'm sure they will.
Well, my thing with buyers too, because like I had an agent having a difficult conversation with a potential buyer of like, why would I need an agent? I'm mm-hmm. finding all the houses on my own. And I think for me, one of the questions is, are you educated on the market and what houses are selling for now? Because I forgot if it was you or Gary, I think it was Gary in that same, maybe in that one, or it might've been another breakout that one of my agents went to at family reunion, but they talked about how like 30%, is it 30%? Is a percentage of homes that are seeing price reductions.
31%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my thing is, okay, well, you go to a house you think is a good deal. what if like you're overpaying for that particular house? Because most people going to market right now are overpricing their home. So you don't have an agent to help you negotiate that. You think you're getting a deal because you're not going to pay a buyer's agent.
Yeah.
When like I could save you more money by hiring me.
Yeah. And the buyer is emotionally tied to the outcome of that, right? Because they already want the house. So they're going to take it and they want it, right? Yeah. That emotion will make you do all kinds of stuff. So they're all, they're not going
to even to the point where like, oh, we won't inspect it. Oh, we want that. You think it's like a friend. And then, and even worse if the seller has a listing agent.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, my favorite is new construction. And they're like, oh no, it's a brand new house. It's fine.
There's more issues with that.
Oh, there is more issues
with our resales.
Yep, and they'll all show up about a year.
Yes.
And a day too late after the warranty is.
Uh huh. It does.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
It is.
Together for that. And it's like, yeah. And I mean, have you guys ever had a new home construction that didn't have code violations? And it'll pass county inspections. Like, so people are like, oh, well, yeah, but it has to be inspected. Oh, please. They all have code violations.
And if it's small town network, yeah, those little boys are playing with each other in the same sandbox, and they will pass anything.
I had, like it's funny because, like, our new construction had minimal blue tape. I was like, this is actually, But then, like, we move in, and we end up having, electrical issues, and we're like, what is happening? We find out that the way that they wired it, because it was less, you know, it was less expensive. And so they basically created, I'm not an electrician, but they wired it in a way that it would trip up multiple things. And so constantly things were tripping. I'm like, what is the deal? So I asked in the group chat, in our text with all the moms in the neighborhood, everyone's having the same issues. So we finally get an electrician out there, and he's like, yeah, we see this a lot with newer homes because of the way that they, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm just going to have to split these because I guess like the divide. And so and he fixed it. I mean, it didn't happen anymore. But I was like, goodness. And then a couple weeks ago, maybe it's been a little longer than that. It was right before snow. Like literally it was about to be the coldest day of the year. Our garage door opener just quits working. It got stuck and wouldn't come down, wouldn't go up. And we're like, what in the world? Like, it's a literally about to be in the teens tonight. And it was after hours, like it was like 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And we had to get an emergency garage guy out there who drove.
I know.
And he drove from like 2 hours, like something crazy. Yes. And so he then says, yeah, we see a lot of these with new constructions because they don't hire people to put them in. They do it themselves. And so he names the specific springs and screws and things where they put them on backwards. And had they just put them on the normal way around, this wouldn't have happened. And so he says, yeah, we see this happen a lot. And then I was like, I think actually one of the moms in my group text the other day said that their garage door somehow.
Yeah. Seth and I paid, I mean, like, people are always, you know, we're not like this, but people are like, oh my God, you just tell people what you paid. And I'm like, it's public record. Literally anybody can see what anybody paid for any property.
Yeah.
And so Seth and I bought a townhouse from Beezer right in Johns Creek. So it was not cheap. And we paid like brand new, built it $305,000, I think, because the lady before us had it under contract, had paid like to almost $30,000 for upgrades, and then walked. So all that money,
I know
she gets good ones.
She always gets good ones.
Yeah. So she walked, and so we got to edit her like picks because that house, the townhouse wasn't built yet. So great. Well, Seth kept saying to call Beezer out, and saying like, they're in our half bath, there is a piece on the wall that keeps changing color, and it's not changing color, like it looks like some oil got splashed on it, or like a seal from the floor did, like it's not turning, like, and it's not wet, like, or even cold to the touch, but it was like there's something going on. He called them out there more times than I can count. And they're like, we're not cutting a hole in the wall. You're going to be liable. Like,
you were not doing that because they did the reading. It was not wet. And so they're like, you guys must be like splashing paint. I'm like,
Yeah,
you should meet me. Yeah. I did not splash paint. This girl, never pulling out paint.
No.
That's not a thing.
No.
So anyways, finally, we're going to sell the house to move. And Seth goes, all right, I'm going to try one more time because I don't want the next family to have to deal with it because they will lose the warranty because we're the original owners. Mm. So we call Beezer out again and Seth is like, you're going to cut a hole. And they're like, we're not going to cut a hole. He's like, you're cutting a hole. And if I have to fix it afterwards, yeah. I will. And they're like, okay. So he takes a little thing and cuts out this little tiny hole. Black mold.
No.
Everywhere. Mm. And so how are...
He probably doesn't work for Beezer anymore.
That guy was the first time we had gotten him. And what's funny is we knew him through a mutual person. And that's the only reason he finally agreed to cut the hole in the wall. Mm. And so how it was,
I'm throwing this out there. I threw that out there. This is on them.
And so we had, the way it was, the half bath, the back of it backed up to like, you came in the entryway, half bath was here, you came straight in, it was our dining area, family room. So the back of the kitchen was up against like the half bath. And then you went through a little hallway, and then that was where my pantry was,
and then act to the garage.
So think of it like a T, okay? That entire T was full of black.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely full.
And the only sign that this was happening
was this little tiny patch on the wall that kept changing color.
Which is the black mold.
Eating away the sheetrock.
That's exactly right.
You know what cost it?
This is great.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember you talking
about that. Yeah, when they hung the vanity mirror, they drilled the school screw through the main drain line of the house.
Oh, jeez.
So every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, how would you know that? Well, you need the same inspector inspecting from, like, pre-drywall.
Yeah.
And it has to be the same guy that comes back and is like, so that's where the main drain line was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even as an agent,
did I have a pre-drywall inspection? Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Did I have post drywall? Yes, I did. It's not the same inspector.
Right.
It was the company, but like the guy wouldn't have known that that's where then we got it all taken care of, and it had to have massive mold remediation. And these are covered it all, but then we put in our closed Facebook
for the neighborhood, like what had happened.
Two other people are like, oh my gosh, same thing. And like three or four others were like, that's what is causing this? So just simple stuff like that.
And I mean, I'm an agent and have been doing this and did
new construction for a million years.
Yeah.
And that can happen to us. Like, yeah, you're going to go not be represented and hope for the best. Good luck.
So that's the same house that I helped you with, that I had a friend that was a realtor in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did that happen on her house, too?
I don't know. I only knew about this now.
Yeah, I was like, you should ask her. You should say to James, like, have you checked behind your vanity mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe they moved in a house out in Southern California, but more in the desert area.
That's where they're at. My thing is, like, you're just going to trust that the person that you're buying from completely. And I mean, I wish that we lived in a world where we could trust, but I mean, you know, like, we go into situations and listing appointments where they're like, do we have to say X? And we're like,
oh, yes.
You know,
and that happens so often,
all the time.
If they were selling on their own, or hey, I'm listed, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you about this drip over here and this drain and this and that.
This,
you know,
is so funny because we bought a new construction site. I didn't mean to interrupt.
But no, you're fine.
We bought and we lived there from 1990 until 2020. I think that's when we lived in our house. I think 3 or 4 years, and I am so fastidious just in the sense because I was raised the way I was. And for like 6 months before we we put it on the market. I'd be fixing things and painting things. And my husband would sit there and going, what are you doing? And he goes, we don't have to do that. And I'm going, oh yes, we do.
Yes, yeah.
Because yeah. I don't want somebody to say, well, I just couldn't sell it to somebody if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Now, I was changing paint colors, and I probably didn't have to do that. But you did it anyway.
Yeah. Well, and so much as, like, we bought personally two first sale by owners, they're the best deals we ever bought.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Yeah. Because, like, literally, I mean, yeah.
And always.
So it was, like, one of them, they got a, you know, pre-market appraisal, which that's another topic for another day. And we're like, okay, we'll pay you that.
Yeah, all day, every day.
And then, like, immediately after, I mean, you know, so it was worth a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show, like, you could be on both sides. You can either be way overpriced on your head and just sit, or you can be giving one of your greatest assets away. Because I promise you, most people for sale by owners, unless they're an investor, it's probably the only home they own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And you see with first sale by owners too, with that, is that it's the difference. Like, if you go to buy a diamond on eBay or you go to Tiffany. And so if I throw the diamond, I go buy it from Tiffany, but then I try to resell it on eBay. Which do you think could be the same diamond? What mm-hmm. are you paying more for?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I'm paying more to go into the store because there's a professional sales associate. I know for sure what I'm getting. They have it certified. You're paying for all
They're
of that.
Experts. They're experts. Yeah.
It's a whole other level. And I'm like, and I don't care how trusted quote unquote eBay mm-hmm. is. Like, I'm not going to buy a diamond ring.
Or a Rolex.
Or anything else, right? Like,
yeah.
And just trust it and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for sale by owners.
And thankfully, I think people are seeing that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's education through social media. I don't know.
I think it is because, you know, of 90%
yeah.
now.
I mean, and it's a good number.
And it's,
yeah. Something's happening.
That's a really good number. That's an A in anybody.
Right.
Yes.
And
yes.
Any grade book.
Yes.
Any grade book. Yes.
Yeah, something's.
That's right. Which, yeah. Now, I don't know if this is with you too, but like the homes we're going into and the living rooms we're going into, these sellers, a lot of them are not that they're educated or not educated, but they know. Like, they are asking more
questions.
Yeah. They're asking more information.
Definitely.
Like, well, I saw this on TikTok, like this and that. Like, it is, again, when we talk about a skills market, it's getting to the point where you've got to be in it too and be listening to what the data says and things, because your people are just as informed as you are. Because even one of my agents, Brandon, he was saying, he's like, I remember back in the day, I could just go in and they'd be like, okay. Like, they want all the information. They want all the details. And I'm like, because information's at our fingertips. Like,
mm-hmm.
everyone's going to, before they list a home now, everyone's going to Google. Everyone's going to, you know, go to Instagram, TikTok, and search for themselves.
Well,
you know,
and there's all these TV shows, if you will.
Oh, bless. Yeah.
I know. But at least they're going, oh, looky here.
Yes.
So, so then that person says, oh, maybe we should check for any mold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That, not that happened to me, and that was.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I was the agent.
And
if Seth hadn't been so passionate about the next
family not having those.
Oh, yeah, you would have passed it on. Not knowing.
Not knowing.
Yeah.
The lesson, hire an agent.
And then make sure as agents that you get the same inspector for pre-drywall and post-drywall.
Yes.
There you go. There's our hot takeaway today.
Yes.
And there's always an agent that you're going to mesh with. We worked with a male agent before. I personally like working with female agents, but that's.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure they know what they're doing and they're answering their phone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That shouldn't
you're asking
be
the right question.
That shouldn't be the bare minimum standard, but it should be the first thing that you ask is what's the communication system that they use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even when you ask, they may tell you, but if they're not following it, then that's probably not the
Mm-hmm.
They always have an excuse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you're a newer agent, you know,
you have
align yourself with someone.
You mm-hmm. have an agent.
And that's what they're doing.
Who is sitting in ICU with her mother, and she will instantly text, because I actually called, I forgot, and I called and I said, listen, I can say this faster than I can text. So, and she said, I'm still in ICU with my mom. And I said, okay, you're good. I'm just telling you what I'm doing for our client. So,
yeah.
I don't mean that anybody should have to do that, but that's where her heart goes. And
no, but if she wasn't and wanted to choose not to, which is okay too, she could have
a system.
She has a system of somebody else covering for her, because somebody that's that dedicated to making sure she's communicating isn't just hoping for the best.
Not throwing it against a wall and seeing if it
sticks. Nope. Yeah, it's not spaghetti.
All right, you guys, thank you very much.